Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be able to come to minister God's word. Our theme for this year is what? His heart, our heart. Having God's heart. Okay now? Last Sunday, Pastor Aaron called us to guard our heart. Is it working? To guard our heart. From Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. To guard your heart, just like a soldier would guard a city gate. Now, when a soldier guard a city gate, he is not supposed to slumber, he's not supposed to sleep, he's supposed to be watchful, alert. How many of you ever been on guard duty before? I have. And I must say that on one or two occasions, I did fell asleep doing guard duty. One time I got caught, you know. So, the Bible tells us to guard our heart above all else, above anything, above everything, above all, before, after, and over anything, everything, all things, guard your heart. People will guard their money. How many will guard your money? People will guard what they have. Some people, you know, the way they guard their car, don't close the door so hard. They get upset if you close the door too hard. People will guard their reputation, but God called us to guard what? To guard our heart above all else. The Message Bible put it this way. Why? That is where life starts. What you see, what you say, what you do, what you hear flows out of what? Out of the heart. And if that is where life starts, it may start just as a what? As a seed of desire or thought. Just a seed. But this seed has great possibility, great potential to grow into a tree. A tree that block your life. How many of you realize that something is blocking your life? A tree that block your life, or it can be a tree that provides shelter for you. Guard your heart. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 tells us, guard your heart, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Somehow the heart has the ability to think. In Hebrew, the word heart and the mind is interchangeable. So when you think here, it thinks here. When you meditate here and you think about things here, it thinks where? Here. They are interchangeable. And so someone once said, sow a thought, read a deed, sow a deed, read a habit, sow a habit, reap a character, sow a character, reap a destiny. So this morning, we want to look at one king. His name is Hezekiah. He is one of Judah's greatest king. In fact, 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 5 to verse 7 says this. Hezekiah trusts in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, neither before or after his time. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything, and he carefully observed, obeyed all the commands the Lord had given Moses. So the Lord was with him, and Hezekiah was successful in everything like him. The Bible tells us that no one was like Hezekiah, either before, going all the way back to Solomon, and after him, to the end of the kingdom. No one was like Hezekiah. The only one who could have surpassed Hezekiah was King David. Hezekiah was a king. When he saw the nation in shambles, in worshiping God, in religion, He brought reform, and through that reform, great revival happened in Israel. Yet, with everything he has achieved, everything that he achieved in his later years, he forgot. He forgot and neglect to guard his heart. Hezekiah, let me tell you, it's not how you start. Let me tell you, each one you hear, it is not how you start. It is how you finish. For Hezekiah, he did not finish strong and he did not finish well because he did not guard his heart. I have to guard your heart. You have to guard your heart. Guarding the heart is not a single event. It's not a single moment. It's a life continuously guarding of your heart because there are so many things that can take place in your heart. Guarding what goes into the heart, what stays in the heart, and what grows in the heart. You know, the heart, the Bible says, is deceitful above all things. Through your own heart, you can justify everything you say and everything you do. How many of you realize that? And that's what the Bible says. We need to guard our heart. We need to guard our heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 24 to verse 26. It talks about Hezekiah. About that time, Hezekiah became deadly ill. He prayed to God who healed him and gave him a miraculous sign. But Hezekiah did not respond appropriately to the kindness shown him. He became what? He became proud. So the Lord's anger came against him and against Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself and repented of his pride, as did the people of Jerusalem. So the Lord's anger did not fall on them during Hezekiah's lifetime. Is it not said that when the king becomes proud, so is the what? So is the people. The influence of pride. There are three areas that you need to guard your heart against. First, guard your heart against pride. For his heart was lifted up, he became proud. Pride is a destructive sin. One of the deadly sins. It is toxic. Pride caused the downfall, starting with Lucifer. Lucifer was the one who God created, and he said, I will. Five times he said, I will against God, wanting to exalt himself against God. Many good men also fell due to pride. King Saul was one of them. I did it my way. Followed by King David, where he pridefully numbered Israel against the advice of his captain Joab. See, pride said this, I can have whatever I want. King Uzziah, he was a casualty of pride. He entered the holy place that was only permitted to the priest. Pride made him a leper. Pride said, I can do whatever I want. That is the danger of pride. Now with King Hezekiah, the Bible tells his heart was what? His heart was lifted up. God has delivered him when the Assyrians came and surrounded them, cut their food supply. They were desperate day after day. But the Bible tells us that Hezekiah and called the people to humble themselves, to fast and pray, and God delivered them from the hand of the Assyrian. When he is sick and is about to die, he turned to God, and God spared his life and gave him 15 more years. 15 more years is a lot. Do you know that? 15 more years to ride bicycle is a lot. 15 more years. God has blessed him and prospered him. He could have lived 15 more years as God has given to him. He could have lived it for who? He could have lived it for God. I hope when God gives you the second chance, you don't live it for yourself. You live it for who? You live it for God. He could have lived it for God, but he allowed foolish pride to enter his heart. And when this foolish pride entered to his heart, he began to boast who he was and what he has and what he has done. And he began to show his wealth to the Babylonian. You know, the end, he lost everything to them. Pride is a seed of cancer. It brings destruction, not only to yourself alone, to those who love you, to those who are close to you. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Pride is the complete anti-God state of mind. It is the great sin that leads to all other sin, because pride is the exaltation of self above all authority, even God's authority." Is it not amazing? When you see all this K-march, all this, what they call it? Pride. A total against God's authority, against God. J.M. Deby also said, "Pride is the greatest of all evil that beset us, and of all our enemy, it is which die the slowest and the hardest." How many realize, as long as you are alive, it is not easy to deal with pride? Even at my age, pride can slip in, can jump up. The only people who has no pride is the dead. Pride is self-glory, self-importance, self-will. And how do you see pride today? The language of pride today is think about yourself, talk about yourself, use the word I as often as possible in your conversation. So, when we look at pride, how do we deal with pride? The antidote for pride is to walk in what? Humility. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and verse 6. "And of all you, dress yourself in humility as you relate to one another. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor." So the Bible tells the only way to deal with pride is to walk in humility. Is to what? To humble yourself. Not other people humbling themselves, but it's you humbling yourself. Because God opposes the proud. That means God will frustrate and God will defeat the proud. In fact, the word oppose is a military term that is used, that the army is assembled together for only one reason: to come against. And this is what God said, "I oppose the proud. I will go against them. I will come against them." And when God used the word, he opposed the proud, that word oppose is in the present tense. That God will always and will continue to oppose the proud. I want to be humble. Won't you want to be? Is it better to be humble? To be humble and let God lift you up? Is it better than to be proud and let God press you down? And so I the Bible tells us that when you walk in humility, God gives grace. In our translation, he gives more grace. In fact, in our translation, not only he gives grace, he gives you blessing and he'll give you favor. He gives you more grace, more favor, more blessing when you are humble. So choose pride and get opposed by God, or choose humility and receive favor and blessing. I mean, wisdom tells us better to choose what? Humility. You know? And so God said he will give more grace. More grace. Wonder, Peter who wrote 1 Peter, is a guy who have a very fast mouth. Peter talks a lot. I mean, you can see he's quite a man who is quite proud. He always seems to have an answer. But now when he wrote Peter at his age, he said this, clothe yourself. Take off the cloak of pride and put on the cloak of humility. He said, you clothe yourself. And the word clothe yourself is a picture of Jesus Christ who put on an apron and became a what? A servant to wash the feet of the disciple. God called us to serve one another. The way to go up the ladder in the world is you kick, you hit, you press, and you go up the ladder. But in the Bible, the way to go up the ladder is what? Going down. Start from down in humility. How many realize the proud will eat humble pie? How many of you like pie? I don't mind having pie, but not humble pie. But the proud will eat humble pie. So it's wise to guard our heart with humility. Humility is a choice. It's to recognize who God is. It's to acknowledge that you are dependent upon God. It's to say that God is you that will exalt. It's you that will promote. I don't need to do it myself. I recognize God. My promotion, my achievement, my success comes from God. For without you, I can do nothing. It is so easy for us to forget it is God who has given us everything. Humility also see yourself as God see you. Not that you belittle yourself, not that you beat yourself, not that you see yourself useless or really like a doormat. No, humility recognizes that all that you are and all that you have become and all that you have comes from the good God, the good Lord who has given you everything. So, ego. How do you spell ego? E-G-O. But for us, our E-G-O is exalt God only. That should be our heart. So are you willing to guard your heart against pride? Follow the example of Jesus Christ. Look at his heart. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords choose to walk in humility. Why? So that in humility, he humbled himself unto death. But yet it was God who lifted him up. Yet it was God who raised him up. In humility, God's glory, God's life, God's grace is manifest in your life. Guard your heart against pride. Walk in humility. The second thing that you got to guard against is guard against forgetfulness. But Hezekiah did not respond appropriately to the kindness shown to him. This man, Hezekiah, began with a tender heart. And a tender heart somehow will turn to God. Turn to God. And here Hezekiah turned to God when he was threatened, when things did not go well. But when pride entered his heart, he became proud. And proud heart forget God. Guard your heart against forgetfulness. I don't know about you. Have you been in a situation where you forget where you park your car? Some shopping centers are not easy. Sometimes, if I'm afraid that I forget where I park my car, I try to take a picture of the pillar that is there. One of humanity's problems is forgetfulness, short memory. He said that memory is the first to go. If I ever wake up in the morning and look at a woman next to me and ask, who are you? Then you know I'm in trouble. Memory is the first to go. You know, if you are like me, you know, sometimes when you walk from the room to the kitchen, I forget what I really want. How many of you have been there before? You know, and one thing is about life. The things that I need to forget, I find that I cannot forget. I remember. The thing that I should remember, I find I forget. I think I should remember my wife's birthday, but sometimes I forget. You know, the important days, sometimes you forget. And so you find that forgetfulness is not a senior moment. Come on, look at me. Forgetfulness is not a senior moment. Forgetfulness is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. God knows that Israel would forget him, forget what he has done, and forget who he was when they entered the land and when they possessed the land. That in blessing and prosperity, their heart will be lifted and they will forget God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 to verse 14. Make sure you do not forget God. God tell Israel, don't forget me. God is telling each one of us here, don't forget me. I'm sure as a parent, you will tell your children, don't forget us. It is easy for us to forget. So God tell Israel, make sure you do not forget your God for not keeping his commandments, his rule and regulation that I command you today. Make sure that when you eat and are satisfied, be a pleasant home, double story, big bungalow, big house, and settle in. Wow, what a life. When you see your herd and the forage, and you see the big car that you have, and when you see all these things and having more and more money comes in, wow, the bank account is growing fat. And you watch the standard of your living going up and up. Hey, this is good life, man. After all, it's not Christianity about the good life. I'm not here for the good and blessed life. And this is what God told Israel. When you reach that place, when you are in that place, make sure when you become full, full of yourself and your things, don't forget God. If you have been a pastor and you have been a Christian for so many years, you will know of Christians who are so blessed and they forgot about God. How many of you have? It is so easy. Henry, you can remember. Those in our school time who come to know the Lord, so blessed today, where are they? Now I understand why the prayer is, God, don't make me too rich that I go and steal. Don't make me, you know, don't make me too poor that I go and steal. Don't make me too rich that I forget about you. Because sometimes we can't trust who? We can't trust ourselves. So God is telling Israel that when you are blessed, don't forget. And this is what Hezekiah did. He forgot about God for all that God has done for him. But there's one thing you need to realize. It's not just not forgetting who God is and what God has done, but also not to forget his command, his word, and his law. It happened to Hezekiah. It happened to David. It happened to Solomon. It can easily happen to any of us. So guard your heart against what? Forgetfulness. We are living in a really interesting time. If you were here on Friday, Dr. Camille, you are not to slumber. You are not to sleep. You are to be what? Awake with what is happening in our world. So, in trying to be culturally relevant, we must not and never forget who we are. Say amen. What we believe and what we stand for. The world is anti-God. And you're not going to change them. Not only are they anti-God, they are anti-church. That's the world. Remember, a little compromise, a little here or there, the throwing of the hand, and soon you will forget who? You will forget God. And forget what God requires of us. Guard our heart again, forgetfulness. God gave Israel celebration and memorial. What was it for? Every feast, every memorial that they have, what was it for? It's to help Israel again forgetting about God, forgetting who God is and what God has done for them. When God speaks to the people of Israel throughout the Old Testament, God does not just say, "This is God." How does God say it? You often read this. "This is the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt." Every time when God speaks to them, God says, "Remember, I'm the one who bring you out of Egypt." It's a reminder to a forgetful people, which we are all are, who God is and what He has done. We come here on the Lord's Day. Why? So that we don't forget about Him. Why do we have water baptism? So that we don't forget about Him. Why do we have communion? So that we do not what? Forget about Him. Every year, there's a special day when they remember those who had died in the war. Who is it for? Is it for those who have died? It's for the living. Lest we what? Forget. It is very easy for us to forget. And so it is so important for us to remember that God has put things for us to remember about Him. The Lord's Day, the Lord's Supper, the coming together of fellowship is to remember Him so that we can remember that He created us, He redeemed us, He sustained us. The question is this: would you remember God or forget God? I like what Pastor Aaron has read, Psalm 103. May that Psalm 103 become your daily prayer to help you against forgetfulness. Why don't we all say that together? Let's read that thing together. "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me." What good things? "He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeemed me from death and crowned me with love and tender mercy. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like eagle." May this be your daily prayer. Say amen. Daily prayer with so that you do not forget what God has done for you. I'm telling you, it is very easy. I've been a Christian since my teenager. It is easy to forget who God is. We all can fall into this form, this religious form, become so mechanical. It's like what God said about Israel: "You are doing all this thing mechanically, but where is your heart? Your heart is not here. You've forgot about me." It is so easy. The third thing that we need to guard against is to guard against ingratitude. But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him. Pride and forgetfulness lead Hezekiah to ingratitude. I mean, it's so easy to judge Hezekiah. What kind of person is he? So ungrateful, so unappreciative, so unthankful. Yet, The fact of life is that any of us can become Hezekiah, having a heart of what? Ingratitude. Ingratitude was birthed in the garden, and it's continued into human history. And ingratitude is one of the signs of the last day, according to Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1 to verse 2. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last day, there will be very difficult time. For people will love only themselves and their money. Money, money, money. And they will be boastful and proud, scorning at God, disobedient to parents, and what? Ungrateful, thankless, and unthankful. This is what Paul said. In the last day, people will become ungrateful, unthankful, and they will be ingratitude. Why? He said that because of what? Self-love. People will love themselves. Lover of self, self-absorbed, self-promoting, self-important. And our world is caught up with so much self-love. Not never enough. Need more, want more, must have much more. No time or appreciation for God and other. Let it not be said of the disciple of Jesus Christ. Say amen. We know the gospel. There was one occasion that Jesus talked, and he used an actual life incident. It's a story of the 10 lepers that came to him. Nine of them were mainly Jews, and only one Samaritan. They came and they stood afar off. And they shouted to Jesus, you know, and they cried out, unclean, unclean. These were desperate people who consider themselves as social outcasts. Their family reject them, society reject them, religion reject them. They are good as dead. So together with one loud voice, they cry out to Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped for the 10 leper. You would think being brought back from death, rejection, would have generated a heart of what? Gratitude. Yet, out of the 10 lepers, how many came back? Only one came back. Before we judge the nine who didn't come back, ingratitude, we need to remember, it is easy for us to be one of them. Why God gave us the command, honor your father and mother, honor your parents? Because if the children do not do it, it's ungrateful and what? Ingratitude. So guard your heart against ingratitude. And recognize that every breath, every opportunity, let your heart be one of gratitude. As 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, thank God no matter what happened. This is the way God wants you who belongs to Christ Jesus to live. It's easy to complain, easy to murmur, but it takes faith to practice the heart of gratitude. Gratitude is not in our human nature. It's not our second nature. We have to be what? Intentional. Intentionally first by setting our mind that I will be a grateful person. And then when that mind is set, we have to make sure it's an intentional action. So may I encourage you, practice gratitude. Don't become a person of ingratitude. Because you can live in the past with regret, hope for a better tomorrow, or enjoy and live in the present with the heart of gratitude. Lord, guard my heart against pride. Guard my heart against forgetfulness. Guard my heart against ingratitude. So how do you guard your heart? If you go back to Proverbs chapter 4, lock in that verse, guard your heart, for out it flows the issue of life. Lock in that verse. It's the four keys to guard your heart. What is the key number one? What you hear, the word. Verse 20 to 22. My children, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my word. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate where? Deep into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. So the first thing you need to do if you want to guard your heart, how? Remember, what goes in stays in. What do you want to stay here? Rubbish stays in, come out rubbish. Good things goes in, come out good things. The Bible talk about in Matthew, let your heart become a what heart? A treasure, a good heart. A treasure of a good heart. So that everything that flows out of your heart is what? Is good. But when the heart is corrupt, everything that flows out is corrupt. So, the Bible tells us, how do you do it? First, what you hear, let the word of God. Fill yourself with the word of God. Because you need the word of God in these days that you live. You know, I believe the word of Jesus that say that if you have your word, if you have his word hidden in your heart, read, keep it. You may not understand everything, but read. And somehow God will store it in your heart. When it comes to a time that you have to stand up and be questioned for your faith, for what you stand for, you will be surprised. As Jesus said, you may not know what to say, but I will give you what? The word to say. So where is the word going to come from? Going to come from what is stored in what? In the heart. If it's empty, don't go to the bank when you got no money and try to draw something out of the bank. You're going to get what? Nothing out of the bank. So if the heart, which is the bank, if it's empty with God's word, how can you draw it out? So the Bible said you guard your heart with the word. Listen to the word carefully, you know, and let the word penetrate your heart. Let the word change your heart. Let the word, you know, begin to adjust your heart. And so that when it is kept there, you find when you need it, the word will become alive. And he said, the next thing, how do you guard what you say, the mouth? Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Because the Bible says, out of the way, out of the abundant heart, the mouth speaketh. So what you put in, what comes out. And then he said the third thing, what you see, the eyes. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Who are we to look at? We have to look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If you are looking at the wrong thing, you will speak the wrong thing and your heart will be troubled with the what? The wrong thing. So the Bible says, let your eyes fix on one person. Who is it? Fix on Jesus Christ. Fix on him, the eternal God. And then he said, the last way you walk, the path. Verse 26 and 27. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Amen. Stay on the safe path. Do not get sidetracked. Keep your feet from falling evil. That's how you guard your heart. The word, the mouth, the eyes, and the path. God, guard my heart. Say amen to that. You know, after following Jesus Christ all these years, you know what I have to guard my heart against? I don't know about you all. I don't know about you all. But I have to guard my heart so that I do not become an unbelieving believer. How many of you realize that? We can be a believer yet unbelieving. I have to guard against that. Because I'm telling you, when we see what is happening in the world, we don't understand. But do not let doubt enter your heart. I have to guard my heart against what? When you see all these things, I have to guard my heart against being cynical. How many of you realize that? You can become very cynical. Because you think things are not happening the way you see it should be happening. And you think things are happening wrongly and it keep on happening on. And you say, where are you, God? Have you ever asked yourself that? We can become very cynical. I have to guard against that. I'm telling you, in this day that we live, we have to guard our heart from unbelief, from being cynical. And the last thing that you have to guard your heart against, that's for me. I don't know about you. I have to guard my heart against the root of bitterness. If you have gone through life, and we all have gone through life, with the hurt, with the disappointment, with the betrayal, with things that happen, the injustice, how many realize that this is not a fair world? We have gone through all that. I'm telling you, if you don't guard your heart, this heart will become bitter. How does this heart become bitter? Because you have never let, you have never learned to what? Forgive. When you don't forgive, your heart will become bitter. It's a great challenge for all of us to have a heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? They shall see God. God do not look at the outward. He looks at the what? The heart. The Bible says, don't draw close to me with your lips. Draw close to me with your what? With your heart. Everything you are, what you will become, is the heart. Hezekiah started so well. You would expect him to finish well. But he didn't finish. I've seen in my own journey Christian brothers who have started but didn't finish well because they did not guard their heart. My challenge to you, guard your heart above all else. For it is where life starts. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you have asked me to guard my heart. Help me not to be asleep, not to slumber, but to be watchful of what that enters into my heart. For all it is the issue of life. Lord, I give no room for pride, no room for forgetfulness, no room for ingratitude, O God. No room, O God, for unbelief. No room, O God, for bitterness. I want my heart, O God, to be clean, to be sweet. I want my heart, O God, to be like yours, O God. Lord, I ask, help me. Help me by the power of your Spirit to guide my heart. This morning, how is your heart? Have you been guarding your heart? Or have you allowed the world, the hurts, the pain, the success, to enter your heart, that instead of acknowledging God, you are the one who has given me everything. You think by your own smartness, by your own hand, you have attain it. How many of you this morning would put up your hand and say, God, help me to guard my heart. How many of you will put up your hand and say, God, help me to guard my heart? For all it flows the issue of life. Lord, I need you. I need you, O God. Lord, we stand before you and recognize it's only by your power, by your spirit, that we are alive, that we are your children. We ask, Lord, that you will help us by your word, by your spirit, to guard our heart, so our heart will always be soft, always be obedient, always be sensitive towards you, God. That we will not allow the pleasure of the world, the success of life, oh God, to overcrowd our heart. But our heart will be your dwelling place, where you are King, Lord, and Savior. I ask, Lord, that you will do that, and that every hands let lift up to you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Would you stand up as I ask Pastor Aaron to come and close us?